You are Locked On Saints, your daily New Orleans Saints podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What is good, Houdat Nation and Houdat family? Welcome in to this Twitter Tuesday episode here at Locked On Saints, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day, here every single Monday through Friday, 5 days a week, covering your New Orleans Saints. On today's episode, it is our Twitter Tuesday, so our phenomenal listeners have actually helped me out with two segments today. First, Twitter voted on the dueling mock drafts from yesterday's Mock Draft Monday episode. Did Draft A, headlined by linebacker Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoa, take the vote? We'll discuss which class won and which class I preferred. Then we'll wrap up the show with a look at the Saints' remaining 12 outgoing free agents and which three Saints fans would rather keep around. I know my three, but which player has got the most mentions? But before we get to all of that, Julian Edelman's career is getting under the microscope after being out in New England. But before we can talk about whether or not he's a Hall of Famer, the quiet storm would like a word, please. As always, I'm your host, Ross Jackson, at Ross Jackson Nola on Twitter, deputy brand manager over at CanalStreetChronicles.com, and your Tuesday co-host over at the National Locked On NFL podcast. We got all that and a little bit of land yet for you on today's episode of Locked On Saints, your team every day. So what's the big news around the NFL today? Julian Edelman not returning to the New England Patriots. And while that's not immediately affecting the New Orleans Saints in any way, the big conversation right now is Julian Edelman a Hall of Famer? And while we don't have to argue that here on Locked On Saints, there is a piece of this conversation that I do want to introduce. And it's that if we're talking about Julian Edelman being a potential Hall of Famer, then I think we need to back it up a little bit and show some love to former New Orleans Saint Marcus Colson. And there are some very, very easy reasons why. If you want to hear more about the conversation around Julian Edelman, obviously Locked On Patriots, as you covered with Mike DeBate, but also Luke Braun and I over on Locked On NFL talked about this. We believe that he is in the Hall of Very Good, not yet in the Hall of Fame. But if he was, for a lot of folks that look at him as a Hall of Famer, then I think we have to be able to include Marcus Colson in that conversation as well. So just looking at the regular season all told here, you've had Julian Edelman in the NFL 2009 now to 2020, all with the New England Patriots, played 137 games in that time, 620 catches, over 6,800 yards, and 36 touchdowns. But 36 touchdowns is exactly half the amount of touchdowns that Marcus Colson had in his 146 games from the 2006 to 2015 season. So he had over 700 catches with 711 catches, 9,759 yards, so nearly 3,000 more yards than what Julian Edelman had. And then, of course, twice the amount of touchdowns with 72. And Luke Braun made a really good point over at Locked On NFL when we were talking about Hall of Fame. And he mentioned that one of his favorite quotes was somebody saying that in order for you to declare someone a Hall of Famer, you have to be able to talk about the history of the NFL and not be able to leave that player out. And I think that that is an argument and a knock that could be used against both of these guys. So to me, it seems pretty likely that neither of them will be Hall of Famers, right? In terms of NFL Hall of Famers. But if you're going to give it to Julian Edelman, you kind of have to give it to Marcus Colson, because you certainly can't tell the history of the New Orleans Saints and their Super Bowl win without Marcus Colson. You can't tell the Sean Payton, Drew Brees era without Marcus Colson. You can sort of tell the New England Patriots history, particularly the regular season, without Julian Edelman in terms of just replacing him with another slot receiver, right? That's what he was. He was a slot receiver, and certainly he revolutionized the way that we look at that position. But I would dare say that Marcus Colson, as a number one X receiver, held a large amount of weight for the New Orleans Saints in their success between 2006 and 2015 when he finally retired. Now, I'm not trying to dish Julian Edelman. I'm not trying to have any conversations about how Julian Edelman is not a good player or anything like that. And I'm not even trying to dismiss him in favor of talking about Marcus Colson. I'm just saying, both of these guys deserve that conversation if one of the others deserves the conversation. Now, the place where the two of these guys really separate is in the playoffs. You're talking about 19 playoff games, for Julian Edelman and all of the incredible things that he did, right? He's got 118 receptions, over 1,400 yards and 5 touchdowns all in the playoffs, and has some Hall of Fame moments in the playoffs, in particular, Julian Edelman does. Whereas, of course, with Marcus Colston, he appeared in 9 fewer games in the playoffs with 10, but also had 788 receiving yards and only 58 receptions and 4 touchdowns himself. So a lower number of receptions, but you know, nearly half the amount or over half the amount of receiving yards during that time while having nearly half the amount of receptions and nearly half the amount of games. So I think you get what I'm saying here, that if you even both of these guys up, that they are actually a little bit more comparable in terms of their playoff production. But I do think Julian Edelman has had the bigger moments, right? He played defensive back at one point for a play against the Ravens in the playoffs. He had the incredible catch in the big 28-3 Super Bowl win over the Atlanta Falcons, who, in case you don't remember, blew a 25-point lead in the Super Bowl. So there's no doubt that Edelman has had his Hall of Fame moments. But if we're going to have this conversation about Julian Edelman, we should probably keep the door open in terms of the conversation around Marcus Colston as well. And again, I'm resigned to the fact that neither of these guys are going to be Hall of Famers, NFL League Hall of Famers, at, you know, by the time that they're eligible and everything like that. And of course, Colston eligible before Edelman. But I just really look at this as like a, hey, let's not forget. The guy might be quiet, right? He earned the nickname the Quiet Storm, but let's not go forgetting about him just yet. All right, y'all, coming up next, we're going to take a look and revisit our dueling mock drafts from yesterday's Mock Draft Monday. I put out a Twitter poll. I asked the listeners to vote, and we'll talk about which one won and which one was my favorite, because there are two different ones here. So we'll take a look at that and much more as we continue on with today's episode of Locked On Saints, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. And don't forget to go and check out our friends over at betonline.ag, the fastest and easiest way to bet on all of your sports action. College basketball was an absolute blast, but it's over, but that's okay. The NBA, NHL, MLB, all underway and available for you to bet to your heart's content over at betonline.ag. And if that's not enough for you, they even cover awards, TV shows, reality TV, and I'm certain they will have more coming around the corner for the NFL draft as well. They had some really, really great specials last week that only lasted for a limited time. So make sure you keep your eye out and sign up over at betonline.ag and keep going back to the site to make sure that you are up to date with everything that they have to offer, because they have just about anything you can imagine. BetOnline's got you covered on all the news, scores, and odds, and it's the best place to place your bets. And best of all, it's free to sign up. Just head over to the website, betonline.ag, and don't forget to also check it out on your mobile devices as well, and sign up today to receive a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit with the promo code LOCKEDON, LOCKEDON, all one word, over at BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. All right, family, we are rolling right along with today's episode of Locked On Saints. Thank you very much, as always, for being here. Please go make sure to check out the Locked On Today podcast today. There's a lot going on in the sports world, as influenced by things going on outside of the sports world in Minnesota. And so it's a great way to keep up with everything going on. It's not my place to really go into that here on Locked On Saints, but I highly, highly, highly encourage you to check out Tuesday's Locked On Today, so you can keep up with everything that's going on there. You can find it on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast. All right, so continuing our focus here, or trying to get back focused here, I put out a Twitter poll based on yesterday's show. It's where I did two dueling mock drafts, two third-round mocks, that I tried to grab four players. Remember, the Saints have four picks in the first three rounds, and tried to get all four of those players within Dane Brugler's top 100 big board, right? And so we had two different mock drafts that we used or that we put together for that. And I put it out on Twitter. I asked folks to vote on it, listeners to vote on it. And we have a winner in terms of which mock draft they thought was the best. So the winner here is going to be draft A, which included linebacker Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoah out of Notre Dame, offensive lineman Jalen Mayfield out of Michigan, cornerback Robert Rochelle out of Central Arkansas, and defensive lineman Jay Tufele out of USC. So a lot of people love this draft because it started off with Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoah, which if you didn't catch yesterday's episode, we broke down sort of where each of these players ranked in Dane Brugler's big board, but he was a 15th ranked player, right? He's a top 15 guy. You get him at 28. That's a fantastic opportunity. And I talked a bit about why I actually am starting to warm up to the idea of Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoah to the New Orleans Saints, even though he's a linebacker, and we know that the Saints will like to draft linebackers, right? But, or at least not first round ones after Stephon Anthony. But, you know, I kind of dismissed him a bit because of his being undersized. 6'1", 6'2", 221 pounds, felt a little bit too light to me. Remember the Saints pass on Patrick Queen last year. And we know that prototype really factors into the way that the Saints like to draft. Now, they did turn around, though, and draft Zach Bond, and then they traded for Quan Alexander, who is a little bit, you know, who isn't the biggest linebacker out there. And so Quan Alexander maybe shifted the paradigm and potentially the prototype a bit. Quan Alexander weighing in at 6'1", 227, so not that much different from Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoah's build, who could come in and be a guy playing next to DeMario Davis and also be sort of a safety hybrid to eventually take over as the nickel linebacker, dime linebacker, sort of safety in the box role that Malcolm Jenkins has played since he returned to New Orleans. So there's a lot of really obvious fits for him. You get a guy like Jalen Mayfield, who has played a couple of different positions on the offensive line. Yeah, I consider him more of an offensive lineman than just an offensive tackle, but we know offensive tackle has been really his focus. He's somebody that could plug in at right tackle if you ever want to move Ryan Ramczyk back over to his original position, which is actually left tackle in college. Robert Rochelle, the cornerback out of UCA, University of Central Arkansas, is one of my favorite FCS prospects in this class. I think he's going to be very, very good and has been severely underrated and under-talked about because of, you know, he's an FCS guy, so he's victim to all of the changes in play over the course of the 2020 college football season. So, but I think that he's somebody that's physical. He's got size, he's got weight, he's got speed. He has all the things that you like there at the position. And then Jay Tufele can play that three tech position, though you need to develop him a bit as a pass rusher. But when you get him at 105, makes a ton of sense that you'd be okay with that. So a lot of folks really like this draft. That draft actually ended up beating draft B 77.2% to 22.8%. Now, there's still 2 hours left on the poll at the time that I'm recording this, but this is a runaway win for draft A. But I have to tell you, I really think draft B is better. I know it's wild, but I actually like draft B better. Draft B had in the first round linebacker Jamin Davis, the very formidable Will linebacker, coverage linebacker out of Kentucky. At 60, defensive lineman Levi Muzurike, who's a top 30 player. At pick number 98, the first of the two compensatory picks in the third round, defensive back Hamson Nasiruddin. I'll come back to him. And then at 105, the offensive lineman out of Cincinnati, James Hudson, who again has a little bit of versatility to him. I really like this draft more than I like the Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoah draft, even though JOK is one of my favorite prospects in this draft. But Jamin Davis just seems to fit the bill a little bit more for me in terms of maybe being a nice in-between between the Saints' usual prototype at linebacker and what Quan Alexander has sort of opened eyes to about what that position could be in the Saints' new sort of nickel base alignment. And so Jamin Davis would be somebody that eventually just takes over as your Will linebacker. You try to train up Zach Bond to get him where you want him to be, which is a Mike Will type of hybrid. You could potentially train him up to be the Mike linebacker after you're done with, you know, after DeMario Davis is retired and moved on. But the big selling point in this draft for me is that you get Levi Muzurike in addition to Jamin Davis at pick 60. Levi Muzurike is a first round draft talent. He's a top 30 talent. And I was able to get him in this draft at pick 60, which I don't know if that's going to be realistic or not. But if you are able to get him at pick 60, that's a humongous win. And that's a steal right there, potentially steal of the draft type of a conversation. Because you're talking about a penetrating three-tech pass rusher that's ready to go. Like day one, ready to go immediately, lining up next to David Onyemata, who just gets better and better and better every year, aging like a fine wine. So I think Levi Muzurike is the big selling point for me in this draft, in addition to getting the prototype coverage linebacker, modern day prototype coverage linebacker, maybe not the Saints prototype, but the modern day guy in Jamin Davis. And then with Hamson Nasiruddin, you still get Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoah, but 7 pounds lighter, maybe I, or I would guess I would say, yeah, about 7 pounds lighter and about 2 inches taller is basically what you're looking at with Hamza Nasirildeen. A little bit more of a safety focus than a linebacker focus. But again, if you're going to be looking for somebody soon to replace Malcolm Jenkins, I would rather it be a new incoming player than moving CJ Gardner-Johnson out of the slot where we really like him, right? Where we really like to see him and where the Saints really like him as well. And then James Hudson, you get a very talented Cincinnati linebacker, offensive lineman that didn't allow a single sack in all of the games that he played as a starter for Cincinnati. So I actually really like draft B better than I like draft A, but the people have spoken. Draft A is the winner. Draft A is the winner here. Next week for our mock draft Monday, we'll do a trade up and then we'll see, you know, how high we can get up and all that good stuff, you know, mortgage the future as the haters would say and all that and see what we could do to get up. But this was a lot of fun and I appreciate everybody for contributing and playing along here. And speaking of contributing and playing along, I also put out a list of the 12 remaining outgoing Saints free agents, ask listeners to pick three that they would like to keep around. We'll talk about that, and I'll tell you which three I would like to keep around. I'd like to see the Saints re-sign here in just a moment as we continue on with today's episode here, Locked On Saints, Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Before we get to all of that, I want to tell you about our good friends over at rockauto.com. What do you drive? Go ahead, lean in. Tell me what you're driving. Dodge, Daewoo, Ford, Fiat, Chrysler. Chrysler's kind of the same thing as a Dodge, but you know what I'm saying. It doesn't matter. Whatever your answer is, I'm going to tell you to go to rockauto.com. Whatever your answer is, whatever your make, your model, whatever part you need, rockauto.com has all the answers for you. And when it comes to the parts that you're looking for your vehicle, you're going to get them at a fraction of the price is what you might get at one of those chain stores around the corner. For instance, let's say you're looking for a Delphi FG1456 fuel pump assembly for a 2005 to 2007 Honda Odyssey. You know who you are. You can get that for $353.99 at the big chain store, but at rockauto.com, you can find it for $216.79, over $100 cheaper. Imagine what you could spend that $100 on. Almost another fuel pump assembly. Honestly, you can almost buy two of them for the price that you're saving. So go and check them out, rockauto.com. Let them know what type of make, model, year you have. Let them know the parts you're looking for, and then let them get you taken care of. You can do it all from the comfort of your couch, comfort of your home office. You ain't got to go nowhere, and it'll all show up at your door just a few days later. Check them out, and don't forget to write Locked On in the How'd You Hear About Us section so that they know that we sent you amazing selection, reliable low prices, all the parts your car will ever need at rockauto.com. Let's get it, Who Dat Nation. We are going to wrap up today's episode with the greatest segment I've ever recorded. Y'all, just forgive me. I'm loopy. I'm crazy. But if you do want to hear the greatest thing ever recorded, make sure you check out the Ultimate Mock Draft 2021. You can find it right now on the Audacy app, A-U-D-A-C-Y. Go and check it out. It's going to be April 19th through the 26th. Our big first round mock draft, including all of our local experts from the NFL, from college, from Audacy as well, coming through. Michael Irvin, the Michael Irvin, Hall of Famer Michael Irvin, Jason Lockenfora, as well as Michael Lombardi and others coming through to help us out. So check us out April 19th through the 26th over at the Ultimate Mock Draft 2021. All right, so let's go ahead and wrap up today's episode. I put out a tweet earlier today talking about the 12 remaining outgoing free agents for the New Orleans Saints and what three Saints fans would like to see the Saints re-sign. So quickly, we'll run through the names here so that you know who we're talking about. Are Quan Alexander, the linebacker that, of course, they traded for in the middle of the season, Nick Easton, Thomas Morstead, punter, linebacker Craig Robertson, quarterback Johnson Batamosi, safety DJ Swearinger, wide receiver Benny Fowler, cornerback Ken Crawley, wide receiver Austin Carr, center slash offensive lineman Will Clapp, and then the pair of tight ends that opted out of last season and were the earliest cuts of this offseason, Cole Wick and Jason Vanderlaan. So out of those players, who are the three that you would like to see come back and be back in the black and gold in 2021? Quan Alexander, without a doubt, was the top name that everybody brought up. And we've seen Quan Alexander. He's worked with Dr. Reef. Remember Dr. Reef? He came through on the show last offseason, talked a little bit about the rehabilitation work that he did with Alvin Kamara. And we watched Alvin Kamara have an incredible 2020 season after working with him. Quan Alexander is working with Dr. Reef there, and we're seeing him. He doesn't have the boot anymore. He's working his way back. So Quan Alexander is the most popular name that popped up in all the comments here. He's certainly my number one name as well. But who were the others that got the most shine here and got the most mentions? Surprisingly, one of the names that got the most mentions was Craig Robertson. Craig Robertson got a lot of love here from the Saints fans. And look, if you're a Saints fan, you know you love Craig Robertson. He's hysterical. He's a great glue guy. He's a great locker room guy. And he's a fantastic special teamer. And he's a special teams captain. He's got a C on his chest as well. So it makes a lot of sense that Craig Robertson would get a little bit of recognition. But it just goes to show you how deeply understanding the Saints fan base is of this Saints roster and how important that is, which I thought was really cool. Another name that I saw get a lot of mention was DJ Swearinger. Again, he worked out quite a bit as a special teamer, even though before coming to New Orleans, there was trouble throughout his career because he didn't want to play special teams, but he came to New Orleans and then became a pretty solid special teamer for the team and also played as a good dime safety for the Saints as well. So he drew a lot of love as well. And then the other two names that I saw get a lot of mentions were Nick Easton and Will Clapp. And I completely understand that, right? You want offensive line depth. That makes a ton of sense. Thomas Morstead got a lot of mentions here too. I don't think Thomas Morstead comes back though, right? They cut him and then they gave him a press conference. Feels like they've closed the book on that. Blake Gillikin is probably your new punter for the future in New Orleans, or at least that's what they're hoping for. But I'll tell you my three names that I really think I would like to see stay in the black and gold. Quan Alexander is an obvious one, right? No one's not going to say Quan Alexander. So Quan Alexander, Will Clapp, I will take over Nick Easton just because Nick Easton's had the neck injury, he's had the concussions, things like that. I kind of want the dude to just like sit down and chill out for a little bit. But Will Clapp is somebody we have seen be serviceable as a sixth offensive lineman. We also watched him step in for Larry Warford in the 2019 season and pave the way for big runs for Alvin Kamara. He plays very well in the zone blocking scheme, struggles a bit when it comes to pass protection, struggles a bit when it comes to being a power run blocker. But you know what? For the reason that you would have him out there and for the reasons that he would hit the field, it's totally worth it. And again, you're stacking up your depth there. And you already have James Hurst re-signed for three seasons. So I think that that helps as well. You have a buffer between when Will Clapp would actually hit the field. You're not talking about signing him as a starter, right? You're signing him as an emergency depth piece. And then my number three is actually wide receiver Benny Fowler. For those of you that watch us over at Who Dat Confessional, Benny Fowler. One of the reasons why I like Benny Fowler so much is because of his contributions to special teams. Y'all remember the first game of the season last year? And what he did, right? With the fumble recoveries and the special teams plays and things like that. And what he did during camp. Like, if the Saints are looking for somebody still to fill in the Justin Hardy gunner position, Benny Fowler competed pretty well at that position in the ahead of the 2020 season. So I wouldn't mind seeing him come back to camp as well if he's fully healed from his injury. So Benny Fowler is actually the other one that I look at. And I still think Benny Fowler can also be a good threat for you at the wide receiver position as well, as somebody that could potentially be a fourth or fifth wide receiver that could go out there and get 15, 20 catches in a season and, you know, just be a factor every now and then. He doesn't have to have an immediate impact or a big impact on the game, but I think that's where I go. Somebody that serves those multiple purposes. DJ Swearinger is right behind him for me, though. DJ Swearinger, Johnson Batamosi, the special teamers, those guys are right behind him for me. But those are definitely my three. Quan Alexander could come in, be your starting linebacker in this system. He's proven that before. All he has to do is be healthy. If he can be that, come on home. Come on home. Dave Chappelle, Rick James gift. Come on home. The other guy that I look at, again, Will Clapp, just add to your offensive line depth. He's just a little bit more of a sure thing to me than Nick Easton is with his injury history. And then Benny Fowler, the special teamer slash potential fourth, fifth wide receiver as well. Those are the guys that get my vote. If you want to let me know who you would like to keep out of those 12, the three players you would like to see back in a Saints jersey in 2021, head over to Twitter at Ross Jackson Nola and let me know. You can find the post. It's the pinned post on the Twitter account. Just go ahead and drop a comment and let me know what three of those players you would like to keep around for the 2021 season. All right, y'all. Coming up on Wednesday, it is midweek mock draft. So that means that we'll take a look at the updated Trevor Sikkema mock draft from the Draft Network. And we'll also welcome back our good friend Chrissy Freud, the quarterback expert out there who's just much smarter when it comes to quarterbacks than I am. She's going to come through and help us talk a bit about the other quarterbacks in this 2021 draft class. Not the top five guys, but we'll talk about the Kellen Monds, the Kyle Trasks of the world, and why the Saints could potentially be in that market at the later point in the draft, as opposed to the Davis Mills of the world being a potential first round selection for the New Orleans Saints. So we have all that coming up for you tomorrow. I appreciate y'all as always for listening, rating, reviewing, and of course, for helping me grow this family. You can catch me on Twitter at Ross Jackson, N-O-L-A. Hit me up. Let me know how the family's doing. Let me know how you're living. Let me know how your mom and them. And as always, Who Dat Nation, I'll holla at you.